relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
This episode of the America First podcast with me, Sebastian Gorka, is brought to you by Franklin Armory. Shop freedom, quality, and innovation at franklinarmory.com. Franklin Armory, we are facilitators of freedom.
And look, I don't want Joe Biden to fail. I'm an American. I don't want anybody to fail. I want to see this country succeed.
Yeah, but right now you're paying the price.
I didn't vote for him, but I'm paying the price. It wouldn't have mattered. If this would have happened under President Trump, exactly what's happening right now, I'd still be saying the same exact thing. And I would be calling for their action, even if it was who I voted for. I'm able to separate politics and
common sense.
But this isn't politics.
This isn't politics. This is human trafficking.
Come out and tell me that there's nobody coming through this
county. That isn't politics. That's not politics.
And I want to emphasize,
not politics.
The wall is not right here.
Yeah.
The wall, there is no wall. But where the border is 60 to 70 miles that way.
I'm not a journalist. Don't ever call me that. But sometimes when you know that the legacy media is lying to you, don't want to cover a story, you just have to find out for yourself. And that's what we did. That's a clip from our exclusive for Newsmax. I bought a camera. I bought a plane ticket for Mr. G, my producer, and we went down to Arizona. We were invited by the local sheriff of Pinal County, Sheriff Mark Lamb. But it was over a year ago, and we saw shocking evidence of human trafficking, the debris, the smuggling tools. And we need an update, because as of yesterday, we know we have a record, and it's not a good one. Greatest number in American history. 2 million illegals have crossed our southern border that we know of in the last 12 months. What's happened since our visit? And what does it mean for local peace officers? Well, we are delighted. He's braved it to the swamp. Maybe he can shoot some more rattlers for us. We'll tell you about that later. He's Sheriff Mark Lamb. Welcome in studio.
Thank you. I might need a bigger gun for the creatures out here.
You may need some tactical
use. I don't like snakes, but what's here in D.C. might be worse. I don't know.
for full disclosure, if you didn't see our original Newsmax package, we spent a day with you. You drove us around. You took, 20 feet from your patrol vehicle. We saw the signs of human smuggling. We did a ride along with one of your deputies. But one of the last things we did with you is we got out of the car and we started walking. And within a few feet, you heard that unmistakable rattler sound. And you pulled out your very short-barreled AR and you fired. You killed it.
Yeah.
But we didn't have an ear pro on. And we were a little bit ringing for the time being. I think you've got a suppressor since then.
I do have a suppressor now.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
My ears rang for about a week after that. But the snake's no more.
The snake was vapor. Yeah. We couldn't find it. I wanted a nice, belt or, something, but it was like vaporized by that very fast 5.56 round. All right, we're having some fun, but this is a serious issue. So that was over a year ago. We need to go back, and you've given us an open invitation. Thank you. So talk to us, given the shocking figures, the fact that it looks like the feds, CBP, INS are kind of stood down. They're the Walmart greeters of the Biden administration. What impact has there been on your job? You were on my show yesterday on Newsmax. Give us just some rough figures and just some anecdotes of how worse it has become.
Well, it's a tremendous impact on us. I've always said that what comes through my county doesn't stay in my county. So there's not a lot of long-term effects other than the fentanyl. But what we see every day and the crime that comes with it is what's alarming. We've had almost a 250% increase in pursuits over the last 2 years. People running from us, trying to avoid being caught because they're transporting humans and they're transporting drugs.
Tell us some of the figures. You had like five vehicles. How many people in the five vehicles?
Just yesterday, we stopped five human load vehicles in one shift. With 27 people between the five vehicles. Do the math. It's over five people per per, per, per car.
Now, what happens if you don't have there and then the evidence that either the smuggler or the people that are in the trunk of the car or whatever it is are felons? If the feds aren't helping you out, what tell our listeners, our millions of listeners, what happens next when you intercept, you know, a pickup truck with, you know, eight people slid in the back and they're not American nationals, they've got no ID. What happens next?
I'm embarrassed to say, Sebastian, but if Border Patrol does not come pick them up, and we can only hold them for about 30 minutes about outside of that, because that's the normal time frame for a traffic stop and for Border Patrol to come pick them up. If they're not able to come pick them up, we have to release them into the public unless they've committed some other state crime that we can hold them on. But, you know, if they pull over on a traffic stop and we find five illegals in the car and Border Patrol can't come pick them up, I have to release them.
And explain the industry of this, because there are people, there are Americans as well, who are involved in the moving of these individuals. So this is really an industry, isn't it?
Right. So the cartel is targeting our youth. They're going on TikTok and other social media platforms and saying, hey, look, if you go pick up these illegals down in Pinal County or Cochise County, we'll pay you $1,000 per person to come and pick them up. So you're getting these 16-year-olds that are running from us. They're driving down there and they are picking these people up, making $1,000 per person in mom's car or grandma's car. And it's happening every day, all day. Cochise County had 1,000 vehicles in a month that came through there that didn't belong in Cochise County. Not only that, there are people now flying from other states, flying into Tucson, renting a car, picking people up, taking them to Phoenix, going back to the airport and flying back home.
To be part of this industry.
To be part of it, to make that kind of money that the cartel is paying.
If they're giving $1,000 per head to kids who are coming in to do this, the other end in Mexico must be making millions.
Well, the last estimate I heard today is they're making $200 million a week. And it's cash. Anybody in business knows that cash is king.
Yeah.
So that used to be when they had drugs, they would send the drugs into America. They would have to make their way from Arizona over to Iowa. They sell them in Iowa or Chicago. And then they have to transport the money back and hope that law enforcement doesn't catch it. Well, now they have, because of the Biden administration policies, now they have the clientele showing up at the doorstep of the cartel to say, hey, I want to pay you to take me across the border, and so they're paying $5,000 to $6,000. So now, the cartels are cash rich; they have hundreds of millions of dollars in cash that they can do whatever they want with, and it makes them more and more powerful every day. And I want to talk to you about the human trafficking. I don't know if you have a question, but I'd like to branch off onto that too.
No, we'll talk about that. But first, is there any commonality? Who is being trafficked? Are they all Mexicans? Where are they coming from? Are they politically persecuted? Do we know? Are they just economic migrants? Can you tell who these people are?
And that is a really good question, because it varies from where you go on the border. If you go to the Yuma sector, what you get in Yuma is you get Venezuelans and Brazilians and Chinese.
Hang on. We don't have a border with Brazil or China.
Exactly. So they shouldn't be able to claim asylum.
Right.
They're flying into small towns in Mexico.
Let me just stop there, because international law is clear on this. If you're an asylum seeker, which is not an economic immigrant, you are claiming political persecution or religious or whatever from your home state. International law requires, just for the record, that the first safe country you land in, once you leave your own, is where you apply for asylum. You can't go through 10 countries because you want to go to America and then apply for asylum, right?
Yeah, and they are going through 10 countries. I ran into a Venezuelan family. They told me they flew to one of the Central American countries. From there, they flew to Mexico. From there, they had to traverse the dangers of the cartel to get across the border. So they had two or three opportunities to claim asylum before they ever got to the borders of America. So in Yuma County and in Del Rio, you might get Haitians and Brazilians and all sorts of people that have had an opportunity to claim asylum in Mexico or whatever country they got to first, which is the law.
Which means they're coming here for economic reasons, right,
exactly.
Sheriff?
They're coming here for economic reasons. And when you ask them, they say, we're here because Biden said we could come.
Yeah.
And so they come across. Now, when you take my sector, I'm in the Tucson sector, so Cochise County, Pima County, Pinal County. What we deal with are military-age men, typically from Mexico or Guatemala, camouflage clothes, carpet shoes, or people that...
Put that up on the screen, the carpet shoes. This is something that we saw down there.
And they're literally, you're going to see, they're literally what they look like. They're a shoe that goes over your boot with carpet on the bottom, and it's designed to mask sound.
He's holding it. The sheriff's holding it. That's it. Yep. So
it's designed to mask the sound and to keep us from being able to track them. And that's what they wear those for. And our desert, you saw it firsthand. Our desert is littered with those.
To be honest, because I'd never been down there with the sheriff when we got out of the patrol vehicle, I thought this was a setup. I thought this is like a stage, because we were tripping over the amount of smuggling equipment. But wherever we stopped, he said, okay, let's jump out here. It was everywhere, and that was over a year ago. Please follow this man, Sheriff Lamb 1, on social media. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First One-on-One. A guarantee that you never miss our discussions, long form, with the newsmakers, with the real experts. Go right now to Spotify, plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. It's absolutely free. Write us a 5-star review. It helps with those dastardly algorithms. And share the links with your friends, because the truth will help us prevail.
I want his death to mean something. Depending on the time, there's between... for a long time, it was 22 active duty soldiers or veterans that commit suicide every day of the year, on average. That number during the pandemic has gone up to about 30. So I think something really needs to be done, because it's just not right for these people to risk their lives and then come back and not get all the support they need.
The father of a veteran who took his life during COVID, it was 30 a day. The average is 22 veterans who commit suicide because they don't have the requisite support network, because they may not simply be physically injured. They may be mentally, have the wounds of war, the post-traumatic stress that is impossible to see but can lead them to take that fateful decision. We are honored to be associated with the veteran-run Mighty Oaks Foundation that has ranches across America where they allow veterans and even active duty service members to just get some peace, some tranquility, center themselves again, travel with their families at no cost to them, and try and defeat those demons that they're still fighting from those months and years in the Middle East, in Central Asia. Please make a difference today, especially if you served and you understand what these young men and women are going through, or if you just want to say thank you to those that stood on the wall. Make a donation at our website today, sebgorka.com. At the very top, you'll see Shad Robichaud, the Force Recon veteran who is the founder of the Mighty Oaks, and the phrase, the tab says, "Restore our warriors." Please make a donation today. Help those who've given so much for us. Let's prevent as many of those suicidal thoughts as possible. That's sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com, and the Restore Our Warriors tab at the top for the Mighty Oaks Foundation. Can you give us a scale, Sheriff Lamb, of Arizona is a big state.
Yeah.
So how big is your territory? How many guys have you got? And what's happened to the collaboration between your team, the county team, and the state assets and the feds since Biden took over?
So we're 5,400 square miles, which is the size of the state of Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And we do that with 240 deputies. I have 600 employees because I have a jail and I have civilian. Right. But we do
but
that.
How many guys are on patrol at
100.
One time? 100 guys.
Well, 100 guys total, 25 at a time on patrol to patrol an area the size of the state of Connecticut. We have a population of 500,000 people. So we've got our work cut out for us as it is. We don't need the federal government to add more work on us by not securing the borders and having to go out and work in the desert.
What was it like before, under the Trump administration? What was work relations like with HSI, CBP, and DHS?
We've always had really good working relationships with Border Patrol, CBP, ICE. We continue to have it on the ground level. Where we don't have it is outside of the state of Arizona, it goes cold. And it went cold January 21st of 2021.
The day after.
The day after they were put in office, we lost all communication from Washington, D.C. And I've still never heard from anybody high up within the organization of DHS or Border Patrol and outside
how
of Arizona.
How many times did you make it to the White House on official business under the Trump administration?
I came to the White House 10 times.
And how many times
under
in
President
last
Trump?
Year and a half?
In the last year and a half, zero.
I don't get anybody in trouble, but what do these guys and gals say to you? You know, the CBP and the ICE guy, off the record. How is it? Because they're sworn law officers. Yeah. They carry a badge and a gun, and they're not being allowed to do their job. So what do they say to you?
They're utterly disgusted. They hate it. I mean, the morale is super low. They hate that they're not able to do their job. And then when they do, well, you get things like what happened with the guys on the horses down there at the border,
yeah,
where they completely turn on them. They just destroyed those guys in the media only to have those guys be vindicated for what they did. Mm-hmm. And they still punished them. Yeah. That stuff kills morale. The morale is super low. Guys are leaving. The guys that can retire are retiring. They don't want to work for this administration. Let's be honest. They're ruining Border Patrol and they're ruining the ranks there. And I think they're doing it on purpose, Sebastian. They want to undermine the rule of law and create chaos, not only for those guys, but for us in local law enforcement.
This isn't a political question, so don't take it that way. But, you know, you're your own agent. You are the sheriff, so, you know, you're your own boss. Your reaction to what we witnessed last week in Martha's Vineyard, because it looks like we do have a national border that works very well in that little, very high-end island in Massachusetts, because only 48 illegals arrived, and within less than 48 hours, Massachusetts calls out the National Guard and deports them off the island and puts them in a military camp. What your reaction, given what you've seen in the last year and a half from Biden?
So first of all, I don't want these folks in any of the cities in America. But since we can't send them back, we're left with little to no options. And so I love what DeSantis did. I love what Abbott and I love what Ducey are doing. But I love that they sent him to Martha's Vineyard. And he was smart enough to know that the elitists would lose their minds. Mm-hmm. And they did. Within 48 hours, they had those people off the island. Imagine if under President Trump or in Arizona or in Alabama, we would have taken 50 people of one race, put them on a bus with armed National Guardsmen standing there, and then sent them to a military base. The left would have lost
put them in a camp.
Their crap.
Put them in a camp.
Put them in a
what
camp.
They did. I mean, it's like the Japanese Americans in World War II. Another Democrat put them in a camp.
And they acted holier than thou when they said it. Look, they're far more equipped to handle those folks than they are in McAllen, Texas, or in southern Arizona. And yet, they got 50. In Arizona and in Texas, we're getting thousands a day in these border communities, through communities like mine into Phoenix. Why should we have to carry the load because of the American, because of our presidency and their administration's policies? This should be a load that we should, don't they love fairness and equality? Shouldn't we be able to distribute this, especially to the cities that claim to be sanctuary cities?
Right.
I thought it was brilliant. And clearly this is the most we've talked about, or they've talked about, illegal immigration. It's not even illegal immigration. Illegal aliens and human trafficking and smuggling, this is the most they've talked about it.
I have to admit, the team here thought it was a stunt to begin with, but some stunts actually work. So with DeSantis and Abbott, you've actually got a discussion going, and they're actually admitting that it's an emergency. You know what's going to be an even worse emergency? We've got two more years of this clown show. What's going to happen when next time it's not just baby formula, but something far more serious? What happens when you go to the local gross and all the shelves are empty? Are you going to be able to feed your children, your grandchildren, your loved ones? Do what I've done. I've gone with the biggest, the best in the business. It's My Patriot Supply, emergency food supply that lasts for 25 years, stays fresh, delicious, 2,000 calories a day. And you're going to beat inflation if you buy it now. Use my link. You'll get $250 off a 3-month supply. if you go to preparewithgorka.com. Never be the man who can't feed his family simply because there's a clown show running the country. Go today, preparewithgorka.com, and get $250 off your 3-month supply. That's preparewithgorka.com. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, my buddy, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to my listeners. The Percal bed sheet set is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're on sale. For example, the queen size is regularly $89.98, but now for you, just $39.98 with your listener promo. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percal sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. It's a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-829-8468, promo code Gorka, or just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and plug in G-O-R-K-A. That's 1-800-829-8468 or MyPillow.com, code Gorka. Can I go back to the operational aspect of this all? So the kind of policing or the tactical aspects of it, because these people aren't dumb. So the coyotes, the human traffickers, they're not stupid. When they send a large group, a splinter of a caravan through one part of the border, what's happening 20 miles down the road, Sheriff?
Yeah, they're doing it there too. And what they'll do in the summer is they're leaving people behind on purpose. And then they'll call 911, which goes to Border Patrol or my guys like my helicopter. And then we respond to go save that one person while the rest of the group goes through. They did it. We had one instance in the summer where they called us. We went and found this guy that left behind. We had to give him 3 bags of IV to save his life. While we were doing that, there were 7 more 911 calls on the board for smugglers that were either left behind or hurt or injured, that the cartels had left for dead. And so this is something we deal with every day in the summer. And then on top of that, we have to try to go out and stop these people from coming into this country illegally. So operationally, I mean, they're taxing us to the max.
But if I'm in a legal business, like any business, you got to diversify. So you're going to be doing human trafficking, you're going to be doing, prostitution, you're going to be doing drugs, you're going to be doing weapon smuggling. If I've got some really bad stuff I want to get into America, or I'm smuggling some terrorists, it seems like a no-brainer to me, Sheriff, that you put 100 people, including kids, across this one area. You're distracted, CBP's distracted, because you've got to save those people or help them or intercept them, while I'm bringing in AKs or fentanyl 100 miles down the road. I mean, this surely must be how they do it.
That's exactly how they do it. When you see those large groups being apprehended by Border Patrol or CBP, you can assure yourself that they're pushing a smaller group in through the desert areas into counties like mine with people that you have no idea who they are. You have to be naive to think that out of the 300,000 people coming here every month that they all have good intentions for America. A large percentage of them have bad intentions. And you mentioned something I want to hit on. You talked about the drugs and the humans. How many times can I sell you a pill or an ounce of cocaine? Once. Yeah. How many times can I sell you a woman or a child?
As many times as they survive.
And the cartel gets it. We're seeing slavery,
this is massively important.
This is a very uncomfortable topic.
That's a never-ending income stream.
That's right.
If I can get that 14-year-old girl as a prostitute locked into a room in New York, smuggle them across the border, I haven't sold you a dime bag once. I've got a source of income for months and years.
Years. Until they use them up, and then they may just...
Kill them.
Right. This is an uncomfortable topic for America, but I think this is the worst slavery we've seen in this country, of the history of this country. Hundreds of thousands of people come here every month. Thousands and thousands and thousands are being put into the sex trade. Women into the sex trade, children into the sex trade here in America.
Share your, I mean, talk, I mean, you see children, right, being smuggled?
Yeah. Yeah, children are being smuggled, and there's a very large appetite. We're seeing now, as our society is trying to normalize minor attracted people, they're trying to
normalize. You mean pedophiles?
You don't think pedophiles. That's right. Exactly it. They're pedophiles.
Right.
And you don't think that the cartel is going to satisfy that appetite? And they've got children. They've brought in 30,000, 40,000, 50,000, 100,000 children that either they just cast aside or they put into the sex trade. And then they extort them in. They may say, hey, you pay us $6,000 across the border. We'll take $3,000 today. And then when you get over there, you're going to pay us the other $3,000. We're going to get you a job. And then they don't let those people go.
Well, they don't have IDs. They don't have a social security number. Yeah. They're indebted to the cartel. And when is the cartel going to let them off their debt?
When the cartel feels like it.
Or never.
And it's usually never.
It's usually never.
Or because they threaten them with violence on the other side. This is why you can justify calling them terrorists, because not only do they strike terror into the hearts of Americans, into the families who have lost loved ones at the hands of fentanyl or a person here illegally, but they strike fear into the hearts of those people that are being taken advantage of because of these policies. People coming from other countries that want to come to America and experience the American way of life. They're doing it wrong because of this administration. They're not following the process. But they're being taken advantage of by the cartels.
Let's put his book up there. This is the sheriff's first book. His next book is just about to be released. It's American Sheriff. Traditional values in a modern world. We need a lot more of that. American Sheriff, traditional values in a modern world. We are one-on-one with Sheriff Mark Lamb of Pinal County. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. All right, so I think the biggest, you know, you're in the swamp right now. I think the biggest useful thing, the most useful thing we can do is to take your personal experience, what you and your deputies are doing every single day for the people of your state, of your county, and just help everybody, you know, because we broadcast from, you know, New York to California. Your mission isn't just something in the part of Arizona.
No.
What we're talking about, you can't sit in Seattle or New Hampshire and say, that's Arizona's problem, right, Sheriff?
Right, which is what they do. I talk to reporters or journalists all over the country, and they ask me, you know, how's Arizona or how's Texas dealing with this? And I always say, this isn't an Arizona or a Texas problem. The majority of that product is, which is humans and drugs, is not designed to stay in Arizona or Texas.
I mean, you showed me the interstate. We did a couple of hot pursuits. They're transiting through your area of operations.
And they want to go to other places. They get more money for those people in other places. So this isn't a Arizona or Texas problem, and this isn't a red and blue problem. This is a red, white, and blue problem. It's an America problem that we're all going to be faced to deal with. Fentanyl has become the leading cause of death amongst Americans between the ages of 18 and 45. Over 100,000 Americans last year died from fentanyl. And yet, I haven't heard the president say one word about fentanyl and what he's going to do to stop it. To the contrary, he got in front of the country and told everybody that if you don't believe in his policies, you are the enemy.
And not only that, he said a couple of days ago, it would be irrational to send these people back to Venezuela or wherever they came from.
He doesn't know what he's saying. I mean, look, this is the law.
Yeah.
Send them back.
Right.
What's irrational is to put American lives at risk every day, to put freedom at risk, to put the rule of law at risk, and make us vulnerable as a country. If you don't think that the other countries, I know you do, but if you don't think as a listener that the other countries are seeing our weakness right now, and that they're not going to take the opportunity to exploit it like China is doing with the fentanyl, through the cartels, they are affecting America and weakening us even more every day.
Or if I was a bad guy running a terrorist organization, I'd exploit terrorist borders every single day. Let's zoom back in on your AOR. We were just chatting next to your vehicle when we were down there, and a rancher drove by, a Hispanic rancher.
Yeah.
And he was brave enough to go on camera with his name. We interviewed him, and he said, and I want you to share how it's affecting the people you're responsible for, your citizens in that county. He said when he goes out at night to, you know, feed the goats or check on his herd, he doesn't know if he's going to bump into somebody who's carrying a gun or a knife. So how is the local populace responding to the last year and a half.
They're fed up. They're absolutely fed up. They're tired of seeing the humans coming through, destroying their property. These folks don't care. They don't care about those ranchers, their property, their livestock. They steal their cars. Every rancher across the southern border has had their cars stolen. They can't let their kids go ride horses on the range because of that. And it's filtering more and more into cities. It's getting into the bigger cities. It's getting into cities like mine. I've seen an increase in violent crime and gang activity, which is directly related to smuggling, you know, people owing people for smuggling drugs and people into this country, or people who are being violence that arises because of drug sales. This is on the rise. And the more we undermine that rule of law and the more we leave this border open, the more susceptible we are as Americans, and the more it's going to come off of Arizona and Texas and into the cities across this America. What happens in our backyard today will be in your front yard tomorrow.
Oh, if it isn't already. Now, this is a very tough job that you have. It's getting tougher every day thanks to what's happening here in the swamp. Why did you do it? Why did you run? Tell us a little bit about the story. Why did Mark Lamb want to be sheriff?
You know what? I never even thought about being a cop until I was 33 years old. Did one ride along and I was hooked. Woke my wife up that morning and said, hey, I'm going to be a cop. About 10 years later, I realized, you know what? I think there's a lack of leadership, strong leadership in law enforcement in this profession. And I didn't like the direction under Obama. And so I decided instead of just complaining about it, I would run for office and do something about it. I was fortunate enough to win in 2016. And what drives me is my passion for America. I love God, family, and freedom, and I'm going to do everything. I'm going to put on my boots every day, my gun belt, my badge, and my cowboy hat, and I'm going to go out there and do it every day, regardless of whether the federal government's going to get on board or not, because I owe it to the American people. I owe it to the people that voted me into office, and that's what drives me.
I don't think I've ever seen Sheriff Lamb without his hat. I'm not sure. It might be Velcro to his hat. He may sleep in it. Your upcoming book, what's it about? Tell us about it.
So my upcoming book is going to be American Sheriff Rules to Live By. It's based on the poem by Rudyard Kipling called If. And I tell a lot of founding father stories. I think one of those is Benedict Arnold. You know, most people don't realize that Benedict Arnold was a war hero.
He was.
Long before he became a traitor.
Yeah.
I tell the stories of Joseph Warren and Mad Anthony Wayne and General Washington crossing the Delaware. And then I tie it in with some of my own personal stories of things. I love that poem, and I think it's a great motto to live by. And so each one of those stanzas, I kind of talk about the values, I think, in this world that we can live by. So
it sounds like you're an optimist that we can bring those values back for young men in America, Sheriff.
I am an optimist. I think this is God's country. I think the Constitution has God's stamp of approval on it. And it's been winning the day. They don't want you to know that. But every time the left and the progressives challenge it, the Constitution continues to win. I have faith in the American people, but we got to be back. We got to get back to being the good people that we were, and get back to what America was built on, which was courage. You know, it's, the reason I get out and say so much and I'm so vocal is I believe what Abraham Lincoln said, that when he said, "To sin by silence when they should protest makes cowards of men." It comes with criticism. You know that the criticism is hard. The bullies are out there, but like Aristotle says, the only way to avoid criticism, do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing.
And as the great Winston Churchill said, you've got enemies? That's great. It means you've stood for something in your life. Let's put his book up on the screen. This is his first book. Order it right now. American Sheriff, Traditional Values in a Modern World. He'll be back with us as soon as the next book is available. Follow him on social media as well. Sheriff Mark Lamb, one. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Don't forget, we also on all social media as well, except the fascists at YouTube. So follow us on Twitter, on Truth Social, on Facebook, on Instagram and Rumble as well. And don't forget, you can listen to the Spotify podcast and never, ever miss an episode. If you enjoy the show, don't forget to support those that make it possible. This is not NPR. We don't get $500 million every year from the taxpayer. This is a free market enterprise. We are capitalists here. Please go to mypillow.com, a great American, a patriot, a friend of President Trump's. Mike Lindell is under the gun. The feds ambushed him recently, took his phone. Walmart has banned him because he's a conservative. Use my name and you'll get up to 66% off at MyPillow.com. He's also got some great BOGO offers. Let's show the left you can't cancel a great man like Mike Lindell. Call 800-583-84. Call 800-829-8468 or just go to MyPillow.com. But you've got to use the promo code GORKA. All right, so last kind of so what question. You've shared with us the reality, what's happening on the ground, how it should matter to all Americans wherever they live. It's fixable, I think, because I think we fixed it in the Trump administration. If sane people were running this country in D.C., it would be fixable again, correct?
Absolutely.
What would it take?
Oh, I think the easiest way is to go back to the Trump-era policies, because we know statistics, just based on the statistics, right, and based on what I'm telling you, it worked. It worked. So let's go back to those. Are there things that we need to fix? Absolutely. I think that we've got to overhaul immigration. You know, and if they truly cared about immigration, they have the Congress and the Senate and the presidency. They could have done it. So it's not about immigration for them, or else they would have fixed it. This is a something else for them, but it's fixable. But it's going to take some hard work, because the longer we go, every day that they continue with these policies makes it harder and harder to roll back. More and more American lives will be lost to fentanyl. More Americans will be affected by crime from somebody here in this country illegally. More illegals will be placed into slavery in this country, yeah, by the cartels. So we've got to do something about it. We can take it back. Hopefully in November we can win back the House and hopefully even the Senate. And maybe we can start working on some of these things and holding this federal government responsible. People like Mayorkas, Magnus, let's hold them responsible for doing their job, because right now what they're doing is omitting to do their job.
And it's clear there is a law. You have to have sovereignty. You have to have borders. I think Mayorkas is perhaps one of the most evil individuals in this cabinet. He knows what he's doing, and the blood of thousands is on his hands because of the open border policy. And we're right. The sheriff is right. This has to be couched in terms of slavery. They are promoting slavery, and we know why. It's cynical. It's political. They're racists who think if we amnesty Hispanic Americans who came here illegally, they'll vote for us, because they think skin color determines political identity. That is the ultimate definition of bigotry. I'm Sebastian Gorka. You've been listening to America First One-on-One with Sheriff Mark Lamb. Keep all of his marshals, all of his deputies, and all of those out there who are keeping us safe in your prayers every single day. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Hey, here's a guy who was homeschooling seven children. I don't know the details. I'm more inclined to believe the wife, frankly, than the Bureau. But apparently the thing they came to get him for had been dismissed by a U.S. district judge last summer as being nonsense. So, and by the way, remember, this is a man who voluntarily drives 2 hours into Philadelphia to be a missionary to people who are drug addicts, alcoholics, people who have had their lives shattered. And instead of glorifying a person who was speaking for God and raising his children and trying to be a good person,
right.
You have the U.S. government apparently sending people with weapons at 7 o'clock in the morning. I mean, why did they feel they had to go at 7 a.m. when he and his seven kids, imagine what they're watching?
The great former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, one of the two smartest political minds in America today. With just one half a sentence, making a damning statement that should disturb every American, irrespective of the political color you espouse. I trust that man's wife more than I trust the FBI. Welcome, dear friends. You're listening to America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, former strategist, former deputy to President Trump. It is great to be back in the studio. Thank you to former Congressman Doug Collins for covering off for me on Friday while I had to travel, fly across the nation. It's an insane world we live in. Our great, great supporters, Relief Factor, needed me in Seattle for a commercial, and I went there and came back on the red eye. Thank you to everyone there, Lynn, Dr. Jerry, and everyone who hosted me so graciously, and especially Wyatt, my stunt dog. You will be seeing footage of the stunt dog that will appear with me in those commercials. I think I'll have to post some of those later today when I'm back home on social media, but we have more important things to discuss today. So the first one is what you just heard, the raid at 7 a.m. of Mark Houck's home in rural Pennsylvania by an armed FBI SWAT team. There he is with his lovely wife and the children, their biological children and the adopted children. He is a pro-life activist and speaker, one of the founders and the current president of something called the King's Men, which promotes healing for victims of pornography addiction and promotes Christian virtues amongst American men. Well, probably that's the reason he had to be raided by the FBI. Let's give you the details behind the story. This is from LifeSite News, the excellent pro-life organization. A well-known pro-life author, sidewalk counselor, meaning outside Planned Parenthood abortion clinics, he assists those who are trying to kill the unborn from doing that, helping them see the error of their ways. A father of seven was the latest victim of a Department of Justice-sponsored SWAT raid and arrest for a supposed FACE Act violation. We'll talk about that in a second. It has to do with, you know, protecting the abortion mills. We'll talk about that. He was arrested at his rural home as his children looked on screaming. Mark Houck is founder and president of the King's Men. According to his wife, Ryan Marie, who spoke with LifeSite News, he drives 2 hours every Wednesday to sidewalk counsel for 6 to 8 hours at two different abortion centers. I wonder how many of us can say we do that much for the most vulnerable in society. I know one of our listeners, good friend of the show, Antoinette, can say she does that. She is one of the voice for the voiceless in California. But when it comes to the rest of us, how much do we do for the most vulnerable in society? I think this man could embarrass most of us. Ryan Marie, who is a homeschooling mother, described how the SWAT team of 25 to 30 FBI agents swarmed their property with around 15 vehicles at 7 a.m. Having quickly surrounded the house with rifles in firing positions, so they shouldered their weapons, they, quote, started pounding on the door and yelling for us to open it. What was he accused of? Is he a human trafficker? Member of the cartels? A fentanyl smuggler? A kidnapper? A bank robber? We'll get to that. Before opening the door, She explained her husband tried to calm them down, saying, quote, please, I'm going to open the door, but please, my children are in the home. I have 7 babies in the house. But they just kept pounding and screaming, she said. When he opened the door, quote, they had big, huge rifles pointed at Mark and pointed at me and throughout the house, Ryan Marie described. When they came in, they ordered the kids to stay upstairs. Our staircase is open, so the kids were at the top of the stairs, which faces the front door. I was on the stairs as well, coming down. The kids were all just screaming. It was all just very scary and traumatic, she explained. After asking them why they were at the house, the agent said they were there to arrest Mark. When Ryan Marie asked for their warrant, they said, quote, they were going to take him whether they had a warrant or not. Let me read that again for you. Unarmed, pro-life father of 7, raided at his home by FBI agents holding loaded M4 carbines to his chest and his wife. They said that they were going to take him whether or not they had a warrant. When Ryan Marie protested, saying that is kidnapping, quote, you can't just come to a person's house and kidnap them at gunpoint, the agents agreed to get the warrant for her from one of their vehicles. I'm just going to read that again. After she said that's kidnapping, the agents agreed to get the warrant from one of the vehicles. At this point, Mark asked her to get him a sweatshirt and his rosaries, but when she returned, they had already loaded him in their vehicle. Why did they arrest him? Because at an abortion clinic, a patient escort accused him of assaulting him. And under the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, the FACE Act, they arrested him because of that allegation. An allegation which was dropped in a federal court last summer in a district court. It was dismissed. Why? Because the patient escort had been screaming at Mark Houck's 12-year-old son, screaming obscenities. And Mark said, stay away from my son. Move away from my son. Got into his personal space. And so Mark, protecting his 12-year-old son, shoved the pro-death, filth-mouthed, pro-abortion activist out of his way. The man who killed an 18-year-old conservative last week with his car walks out of the jail on a $50,000 bail because he killed a Trump supporter. This man has his house raided by 25 FBI agents aiming carbines at him and his wife as his 7 children are screaming. I didn't think it was going to be this bad. But it is. Weeks ago, I said what? I said the FBI has become Biden's Gestapo. I'm not surprised. It is the fastest selling item at our website. I was right then, and I'm even more correct now. Tell the world that you agree. We've had enough of a political police force. Go to SebGorkaStore.com. You can get the mug. You can get the T-shirt. Tell the world you understand Joe Biden's Gestapo is the FBI from Nazi Germany to the USA in 80 years. That's SebGorkaStore.com. We've only just started.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.